You have your Bibles. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Over in the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2. And as you're turning, the Lord has blessed me with a long time in the pulpit. Not just this morning, a long time in the pulpit, but a long, long time over the years in the pulpit. And I've noticed in Baptist churches, not only the churches that I have pastored, but in going into meetings where other Baptist churches meet and other Baptist preachers preach, I've noticed that their Sunday school attendance, and this is the way it's always been, the Sunday school attendance usually is just about always 50% of the enrollment. 50% of them. If you have 100 in Sunday school, you have 50 of them show up. Or if you have 1,000 in Sunday school, you have 50% of them show up. We used to have in our churches, we do not anymore, thank the Lord for it, we had information boards. There's a board on one side of the platform and another board on the other side of the platform where you could see how many we have enrolled. And boy, that looked so good. And the next slot was, how many are here today? Just about 50%. Now, folk, that's not going to cut it. That's just not going to cut it. We need to lift the law of averages. And we need you in Sunday school. If you're not coming to Sunday school, you just get out of bed. That's always a good place to start. Get out of bed. Get up a little early and come and meet with us in Sunday school at our church. We have some good teachers. And these teachers love the Lord and they prepare their messages. And you need to hear what they've got to say. And they need the encouragement that you can give them by coming. So if you're not coming to Sunday school, let me encourage you to do so. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Pardon me, chapter number 2. I'll get to chapter 4 in a second for my text. But in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been aforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Then said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou would send me unto Judah, under the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Pick it up in verse number 11. Verse number 11. So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was unto me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as of yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of God that was good upon me, as also the king's words, which he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. And then over a page or so in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 for the text. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6. So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. For the people had a mind to work. And I want to speak using that text on the subject of spiritual motivation. Spiritual motivation. Motivation is a very important factor in our lives. Without it, very little, if anything, will ever be accomplished. I see a man sitting in the shade of a tree. He's looking in his yard in the midst of summertime, and he knows the grass needs to be mowed. He looks at the grass. Then he looks at his mower. And then he looks at the temperature gauge. And he says, I just don't feel like doing this today. I think I'll wait and cut the grass tomorrow. And yet you pass by 2 hours later and he's working himself to death getting that grass cut. Now you put it down, something motivated him. There was a motivation there. For you who do not like football, this will be a very boring illustration, and that it deals with the Cowboys football schedule in 2010. Prior to last Sunday, they lost all of their games except one. They couldn't even play leapfrog in the end zone. They played Chicago and they lost. They played Houston and they lost. They played Tennessee and they lost. They played Minnesota and lost. They played the Giants, that's the first time, and they lost. They played Jacksonville and lost. They played Green Bay and lost. And yet something strange happened. Last Sunday they again played the Giants, the second time, and they won big time. What accounted for this? What accounted for this? Same team. Working for the same owner, making the same kind of money, why all of a sudden you saw this change in the way they played? One word, motivation. Motivation. Without it, you'll sit there and die. But with it, there are no impossibilities if it is spiritual motivation. I think about our church, and I thank the Lord for Grace Baptist Church here in Tyler. We started out 30 years ago in a little frame building over on Patton Lane. And we decided to purchase a large brick building on Northwest Loop 323. We knew we couldn't afford it. We were too small. We couldn't do it. But we did, because the people were motivated. They had a mind to work. We wanted to relocate in South Tyler and build a beautiful new church building, but we could not. Yet we did, because the people had a mind to work. Last Sunday, our church voted to build an educational building to join our present facilities. This would be somewhere generally at the cost of some $1.3 million. We just cannot do that because we're too small. But by the grace of God, we will do that, because the people have a mind to work, and it's called spiritual motivation, and it's very, very necessary in life. I'd like to introduce to you Nehemiah. In Ezra is the book just before Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I just want to introduce Nehemiah to you. The Bible says, "Now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity, of those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away unto Babylon. And they came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one to his city, which came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua," or Joshua, and the third name mentioned there is Nehemiah. We're not going to bore you with trying to pronounce all of those other names, but I want you to understand that when Babylon invaded Jerusalem in 605 B.C., thousands of Jews were taken into Babylonian captivity. Their homes were broken up. Their schedules in life were distrusted and set apart. And my dear friends, thousands and thousands were taken 700 miles away into Babylonian captivity. Among those captives were men like Ezekiel, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and a man by the name of Nehemiah. When Persia defeated the Babylonians, Nehemiah was transported to the capital city of Persia and given a position in the king's cabinet. According to Nehemiah 1, verse 11, he said, "I was the king's cupbearer." Now, what on earth would he be doing as the king's cupbearer? First of all, it would be very convenient for the king to have someone to bring wine to him, and he would not have to go and get it. But second of all, it was equally important that it was a matter of security and protection for the king, because the cupbearer had always to taste the wine before he gave it to the king. If it were poisoned, then the cupbearer would die. And so it was a very high and respected position. And Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Now, a brief resume of Nehemiah's activity is found in that second chapter of Nehemiah that we have read for your hearing. Several of those verses just jump off the page at me. We read them a moment ago. It says it came to pass, and tells the time that it came to pass, in the year of Artaxerxes the king. And as he goes in to give Artaxerxes wine, being the king's cupbearer, he had a long face on. I mean, you could look at Nehemiah and know he was a miserable individual. He's very, very depressed. And so the king said unto him, "Why is your countenance sad? seeing thou art not sick. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And then he said, I was sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, speaking of Jerusalem, the place of my father's tombstones and sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Now notice, he's got an audience with the king. Nobody else around. Nehemiah has a sad face on. And King Artaxerxes said, why are you so sad? What is your request? What would you like for me to do that would make things better for you? And so I prayed to the God of heaven, and notice, you don't even have time to breathe. And I said unto the king, I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I said unto the king, it would be most natural for us to say, well, Nehemiah said, I'm going to have to give this some prayer, and I'll get back with you in 2 or 3 days. But you see, Nehemiah was all prayed up. He had already spent time alone with God. He knew what God's will was, and he knew what God wanted him to say. And so he said unto the king, if it please the king, notice it's contingent on the king's will. If the king's against it, forget it. But if the king's for it, if the king will, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, send me unto Judah and to the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, and there's a parenthetical clause there, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? When will you return? And I set him a time. Now, according to Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14, he said, be 12 years. It's going to take 12 years for me to get back into Jerusalem, survey the damages, get the job done, put out an employment, wanted help, and get all the material needed to supply and get all of this done, about 12 years. Now, Nehemiah was being honest with the king. He arrives in Jerusalem. Verse 11, I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Look at verse number 11 and following. He said, I rose in the night. After he got to Jerusalem, he said, I rose in the night. I and some few men with me, and neither I told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode on. And so in the middle of the night, Nehemiah goes out and he views the damages that had been done to the city 70 years earlier. It says, I viewed the walls of Jerusalem and they were broken down. Even the gates were consumed with fire. Notice that was not enough. He takes a second look in verse 15. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not where I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests or nobles or anybody else. Then said I unto them, you see the distress we're in. Now, another way to say that is, brethren, we have a need. We've got a real pressing need. Do you see the distress that I am in, that we're in? How Jerusalem lieth waste? The gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. Notice, and they said, let us rise up and build. Now, they're not doing it because Nehemiah said do it. Now they've seen the vision and they say, you know what? We need to rise up and build. Would it surprise you to know I've got that underscored in my Bible? And they said, let us rise up. And why are you going to rise up? Because you're not going to get too much building done sitting on your duff. Huh? Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Of course, they're going to be opposed, but it won't make any difference. Verse 20, stand sure. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants. So Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, and Nehemiah puts his burden on the hearts of the people, and they say, well, we need to rebuild the walls. They completed the job in 52 days, according to Nehemiah 4, verse number 6. That text speaks it this way. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. They were spiritually motivated, which probably would have taken 3 years at best to rebuild those walls. They rebuilt them in 52 days. Why? Because the people had a mind to work. Spiritual motivation. The importance of spiritual motivation. They were tired of talking. They were tired of planning. They were tired of waiting. And so they said, let us rise up and build. They did something about it. And our text is brief, and this message is brief. Number one, they had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. This involved several things. First of all, it involved love and cooperation. In chapter 4 of Nehemiah, verse number 15, the latter part of that verse, it says that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. Everybody got involved. The fat people got involved, and the skinny people got involved. The lazy people got involved, and the energetic people got involved. Everybody got involved. Those who could help and those who could not help, they got involved because the people had a mind to work. Love and cooperation. Let me say something to your church at this point. Beware of the third person plural. Beware of the third person plural. You know, in the singular, it is I am, you are, he is. But on the other side of the spectrum, in the plural, it is we are, you are, and they are. Now, if you're in the third person plural this morning, put it in reverse and get up to the first person plural. Not they are, but we are. There's a difference, my dear friends. Whenever I hear people talk about anything the church is going to be doing, and they say, I don't know what they're doing. I just don't know what they're doing. It's not what they're doing, it's what we are doing. And it is not what they are not doing, it is what we are not doing. Our membership is not divided in the we's and the they's, my dear friends. It's divided in the us's. God has given us a work to do. And we need to love one another. And we need to cooperate. And we need to be a part of what we're striving to do. It also involved determination. Chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. And they builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, everyone with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Can you imagine? I've noticed in construction. I've seen lots of buildings going up, lots of homes being built. I've never seen contractors and subcontractors walking around with guns. That, to me, says they were determined to get it done. I mean, we put our hand to the plow. We're not going to look back. They were determined to get... For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Determination. Not only determination, but they had sacrifice. In chapter number 4, verses 21 through 23. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Now that's from early morning hour until late evening. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge in within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. I mean, they were so busy when they said, let's build. And they got involved with that. They didn't have time to take a bath. Early morning till late at night. But they realized they needed to take a bath because everybody's going to run one away from each other. They didn't. So they did take the time out to do that. But apart from that, my dear friends, I don't read where they had a coffee break. I don't read where they had a certain holiday. And we won't be there for a day or a week or two. We'll get back when we can. No, they were there. Why is that so? They had a mind to work. Am I getting across to you this morning? They had a mind to work. Sacrifice. And then it was perseverance. In chapter 6, verses 15 through 16. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elu, in 52 days. And it came to pass when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Amen. Perseverance. Not only did they have a mind to work, they had a mind to pray. You know, monetarily speaking, and generally speaking, it doesn't cost you anything to pray. It really doesn't. You can call on the Lord. You can pray. And God doesn't charge you for the time that it takes Him to listen to what you have to say. As a matter of fact, He's quite delighted in His people coming to Him and praying. They have a mind to pray. Now, you're going to have a heart to pray before you start praying. A heart to pray. In chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Now, I don't want to leave this book anymore, but in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, verses 4 through 11. It came to pass when I heard these words, Nehemiah says, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We've dealt very corruptly against thee. We have not kept thy commandments. Boy, it's getting personal, isn't it? We have not kept the statutes nor the judgments which thou commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are the people, or the servants, and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong might. They didn't need the blessing of God. They didn't deserve the blessing of God. Their lives did not earn the blessing of God. But God was favorable toward the prayer of Nehemiah, and he gave his blessing on them. They had a mind to pray. Not only a mind to work and a mind to pray, but they had a mind to give. That's an ugly word. You know, I ranked that one up there just about with election. Give. Now, get, I like. But give, that's a tough one, isn't it? Especially at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's a tough word, give. They had a mind to give. Look at chapter 5, verse 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah. Now, who made him the governor in the land of Judah? It was Artaxerxes. Before he ever released Nehemiah, he made him the governor. He made him the man in charge. He was the big man that was going to see that this work got done, and then he would go back to Babylon and to Persia after it was done. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, incidentally, the word there is Tershatha. Beautiful word. And if you'll study the book of Nehemiah, you will read where Nehemiah was the Tershatha of the people. He was the governor of the people. Do you know that Charles Spurgeon's wife called him Tershatha? Tershatha. It's a good word. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, that's when he left, even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. Now, the whole time they were there, the whole length, the whole duration of their stay, Nehemiah, as the governor, said, we will not eat the provisions that King Artaxerxes has given unto us. You say, well, it probably would not have been any good. If you have that idea, look at verse 18. Now, that which was prepared for me daily, this is the king's provisions, that was made available to Nehemiah and his people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. There was prepared for me daily one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me. And once in 10 days, store of all sorts of wine. Yea, for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Nehemiah would not accept the food from the king. You know what he said? You really want to know what he said? He said, whatever the food costs, just take that money and send it to us and help us build these walls. That, my dear friends, they had a mind to give. So these people were motivated to do a great work for the Lord. They were determined to get the job done. And the end of the message, as far as my notes are concerned, is, are you motivated? Are you motivated? I see a man. He's worked hard all day. And he's sitting in the shade, enjoying life. And his wife says to him, honey, I have one more thing I'd like for you to do. And he says, I don't believe so. Really, I don't think I could move. I don't think I'll ever move again. I hurt all over. I'm just not going to move. In 30 minutes, she approaches him. He said to her again, I told you I wasn't going to move. Forget it. I'm not about to move. And all of a sudden, right off to the side, about 20 feet, here comes a polecat. Just minding his own business. And he's walking over toward the man. The man not only moves, my dear friends, he gets on top of the house. Why? He got motivated. Huh? Are you motivated? Your church. My church. We voted to do something last week. Throughout this week, I've had several of the members, just on occasion, to say, Brother Cozart, how do you feel about it? Now, in case you're visiting with us today, we voted last week to build on another building larger than the one we're in, and it'll join this building and go further east. And our church voted to do that. And I've had members to ask me this week, Brother Cozart, how do you feel about it? And here's my answer. And I answer to you from my heart. If my church votes for it, I'll jump in the boat and paddle as hard as I can and do whatever I can to accomplish it. If my church votes against it, I'll still jump in the boat because I love my church. This is not my project, nor is it the project of any individual or the building committee that works so hard on it. It is our job. It is our vote. It is our, and we can do it if we have a mind to work. Gotta get with it. Gotta get with it. And that might cost you really more than you think. I'm not talking about in dollars and in cents. I'm talking about things you like to do and places you like to go. No, you might have a fire burning in your heart. Yeah, boy, let's go with this thing. Yeah, this is first. When you have a mind to work, all of a sudden, you'll see things begin to happen. If the weather permits, and barring no complication, and builders who are occupied in construction know that there are lots of complications. Barring no complications, as the Lord provides, we could be in our new building in 7 months. Amen. 7 months. I hope God will give you a mind to work. And a willingness to work. And a willingness to pray. And a willingness to give. And that our attendance will improve because we're going to get off of that 50-50 margin and bump it up a little bit more. And get more people involved. And get visitors involved. And invite people to come to our church. God is doing some things here. I fully believe that with all of my heart. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. And I want you to be a part of it.